Okay, good morning, everybody. This is an interesting room to work in because I can't hear any feedback from the mic because of the speaker. So I'm assuming it's working. Has everybody got quiet? Great. Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for coming to my session at Build. I did want to ask a question, though. What do you think of my Halloween costume? Is it okay? I saw this big crowd of people lined up for Windows Surface last night, and I thought, you know what? Build Attendee is a very popular theme for Halloween this year. So that's what I decided to come as. Right? So anyway, I appreciate you all coming. My name is Kyle Marsh. I work on the Windows ecosystem team, which really means my focus is to help folks like you, developers, create great Windows Store apps. Right? So I'm focused on helping developers and designers create a really great experience for whatever it is your application is trying to do. Today we're going to talk about some of the key areas that you should be thinking about as you design and develop your application, especially with respect to the reading experiences involved. The key here is that, find the clicker here, the one thing as I looked at this agenda, and I thought, you know, I'm leaving one really big part off here, which is I'm not mentioning anything about content. You know, your application could be a fabulous application with respect to how it interoperates with Windows and look beautiful, but if you don't have great, compelling content, your usage is going to drop off, and eventually your app is not going to be really successful. So I'm going to put it as an aside that clearly you guys all have a great strategy for getting great content and keeping that content alive. And what we're going to focus on today are some of the areas that you should be thinking about as to how to really make that content shine in your application, how to best present it to the user so they can find it, so they can navigate through it, so they can work with it and see it, so that you get the best possible experience for your app, so that your brand eventually gets better, and ultimately you get better revenue in the long run. So we're going to focus on key areas that we've come across for Windows Store apps around the reading experience. So I keep reading that reading is dead, but I keep seeing all kinds of opportunity for reading apps out there. So as I started to look and started to get prepared for this demo or for this talk, I started to think, well, I guess I'm going to have to write some demos and show these particular best practices, and I'll have to start down and write some code for this, which is something I would have normally done and would have done, say, a few months ago, 7 or 8 months ago. But I'm really happy to say that despite the relatively early goings that we see here with Windows 8, having just been released to the public last week, there are already some really great applications in the Windows Store that show all of the various aspects that I'm going to talk about today. So it's really nice to see that there are some really fine examples of various reading experiences and the way that you can optimize your reading experience already in the store today. So we're going to spend time today going through a number of these applications and sort of how they do well with respect to their design and interaction for the reading experience. So let's start with a couple of out-of-the-box experiences. So I'll start with the News app. This is pre-installed on Windows. As you can see, it starts with a very big hero image. It starts to draw me in right away. I can, as I pan through here, nice and fast and fluid on the panning, I can see lots of areas where editorially they're trying to highlight things for me, either by using a bigger headline, by giving me a bigger image. All the time, of course, this is keeping me interested. It's keeping me looking at the content. It's drawing me in. Right? As someone who's trying to provide a reading experience, it's important that you try to draw your users in to give them that opportunity to really discover and to find out all the great content you have. Right? So this is a fairly classic for what we consider now a hub design, where I have a hub here. It creates a number of groups where they're grouping the content for me. I can step into one of those groups, see the content, decide that I like it, go ahead and start reading it. Immediately I'm drawn in. Notice that they keep the layout, they keep the way I'm engaged with the user interesting. It's not just a long series of text columns without any breaks or any other things. They keep me engaged. They keep me entertained, if you will, as I go through this content. And that's one of the key aspects, is to keep drawing the users in, right, so that they can really appreciate the great content that you're showing. Also notice that there really isn't any a lot of extra Chrome. The content here is shining through. It's really key for your users that they get to experience the content as opposed to a lot of Chrome or add-ins or helpful things that you're trying to do as you go through the reading experience itself. So this is the news app. I'm going to take a look at a slightly different experience. One of the other kinds of applications that we're apps that we're starting to see come in today are some of the higher end, high design magazine titles, for example. So I'm going to bring up one here, Wired Magazine. Now this is an interesting example of something that we're enabling in the platform that you should be thinking about a little bit as you design your reading experience. And I'm going to call it out here just as an opportunity to do this. So normally these kinds of publications, they're very rich. They use lots of images, lots of very detailed layouts. So they tend to be quite large as you download them. So I'm going to go ahead and download this. The network here sometimes is a little fast, so it might happen a little quicker than I want to. But normally on lots of other platforms, I have to wait around, sometimes a long time, for that content to come down. So I'm going to go ahead and start that here, though. So we'll start the download, and it's going ahead and starting the download, and I'm going to not wait around. Instead, let's take a look at the travel app, another great reading experience. I'm really interested in travel today because this is my last day of content at Build, and we shipped the product at the end of last week, so I think it's a good time to start thinking about going on vacation. So I think I'm going to look here, and as you can see, again, it's a very engaging experience. I can get drawn into the content. Again, lots of groups here that I can dive into. Now, in this case, the group's still pretty big, right? There's a lot of content here. So they're going to let me filter down and find a little bit more things that I might just be interested in. Since I'm looking for a vacation, but a short one, I can say, for example, restrict my content to just North American destinations. Again, they're using lots of interesting layout, lots of interesting images to draw me in. Still a little big in terms of discovery, so they have implemented a semantic zoom that lets me jump around to some of their different articles. As you see, there's actually a whole lot of possible content items here. We got 233 top trips, 353 up and coming, 181 hidden gems. So this lets me go and jump into those various groups without having to go and doing a lot of panning. Right, so semantic zoom, very common concept in Windows Store apps, lets the user jump around and quickly traverse these groups that you can put together. And then again, I can actually go ahead and pick a destination. This one's actually pretty close. Again, interesting layout, lots of view there, different types of functionality. They even have things like their panoramas that let me see interesting layouts or interesting views of where I might be going. So it's a way to really draw you in. And you can see from these kinds of applications that consuming and reading will be a very key scenario for Windows Store apps. In fact, it's even more than that. There's a lot of apps today, and this is kind of an example of one, where it might be a reading app. There might be lots to read in this app. But there's lots of other things to do too, right? I can look at the panoramas. I can play video in a lot of cases. I can do other kinds of things. So it really does become a mixture of lots of media types. So I might have an application that's targeted more, say, on playing video or doing a video service, and yet I need to have descriptions of the content. I need to have a place to do reviews. And the kind of reading techniques that we're going to talk about will really apply across the board for a lot of these kinds of things, right? How do you lay out a nice article? How do you let people move from content to content and navigate easily within your application? So I just wanted to show just briefly those interesting kinds of reading experiences that are shipping, at least for the travel and news applications, as part of the operating system or pre-installed with the operating system. So one of the things we're finding is we're finding a lot of success for apps that use a very straightforward hub section detail architecture for their organization, right? So I'm looking at an app. I've got a lot of content to present to the user. It's news, it's sports, it's books, it's a lot of possible content out there. What's a great way to make it easy for the user to be able to find and navigate to what they're trying to read or what they're trying to consume, whether it's reading or video or what have you? What we find is it's pretty handy for users and easy in a good development technique to simply use a grouped hub. So a hub, your start page, that home page of your application, that you go ahead and group the information or the various content you have into whatever kinds of buckets make sense for the consumer. So oftentimes this is subjects like sports, news, weather, entertainment. It might also be time-based. We are seeing a few applications that are starting to use time. You know, here's today's news and yesterday's and the day before's, et cetera. So it depends on you as to what hierarchy to use. What I will say is don't go very deep or too deep in that hierarchical model. You know, three levels is kind of standard. You know, you have a hub, you have some sections or groups, and then you have some detail. It's important that users are able to get up and down that hierarchy very quickly and easily. If I start adding a third or fourth and a fifth hierarchy, it can be very time-consuming and difficult to sort of have to back up in order to jump up another level of hierarchy. So I'd warn against doing too many layers or too many depths within this hierarchy. Again, we're seeing a lot of success for apps using this straightforward three levels, hub, section, or group, and detail. Now, the important thing, one important thing to do with this hub, it's the start page or the home page of your application, is again, do something that will actually draw the user into the app, draw the user into the content that you're presenting. In the early days of Windows Store apps, we had a lot of applications that were using sort of the standard list view control at pretty much standard settings, and actually getting an output a lot like the screenshot you see on the slide now. Couple of tiles, some nice images. They all start to look the same. I don't really sense any real interest between one of the tiles or another. And users find that this gets pretty boring and they get pretty lost in it fairly quickly. So it's important that you put a really good foot forward when users get to your hub. Use the layout that you have to create something that's very interesting and that the user will absorb the user into what you're trying to do. I would caution, however, that in a lot of cases, when I've worked with applications in the early stages, the designers go, absolutely, we're going to put something together. It's going to look great. It's not just going to be a row of tiles ad infinitum. They come out with this great layout, and they've got, you know, particular image sizes and text blocks, and they really got a great layout. And one of my first questions is always, how does this scale? Because what I find is a lot of times when designers are stretching for, here's a great layout, they're targeting a very specific resolution. And that can be very damaging in terms of the overall experience of the app, because if you don't scale well as to the different resolutions that are available, then lots of users will simply be put off in that, hey, you know, most of that screen is blank, right? So you need to worry about, especially as developers, make sure you ask your designer early on when you first see those first hub layouts, what's the plan here for scaling? Two reasons, obviously. The first is you need to have a great, beautiful scaling experience. Secondly, you need to know what the strategy is going to be for how you fill in these items. Right, depending upon how the scale is, are you going to add more columns or more rows? Were you putting in bigger images? You need to worry about, well, then what do I need to do to provide the infrastructure to enable that scaling to happen? So it's important that you worry and plan about scaling early on. So let's take a look at a couple of my favorite hubs. So the first one I'm going to look at is from Le Monde. It's in the Windows Store in France. Again, it's a nice hub. It, it has a lot of different interests, a lot of different layouts for me. They're bringing in, they're highlighting content, they're mixing and matching sort of, it's not just a series of the same size tile all over, right? I get to look through, they have lots of way of highlighting at an editorial level what they think I should read, what might be interesting to me. Let me slide over here. I can, of course, still dive into a section level, where again, they're using a little less variety this time, but they're still using some variety between the images and their combination of image and tile and text tiles to let me, again, see some interesting content without necessarily looking the same all the way across. So I think this is a pretty good job of a nice looking hub and section detail. Another one I want to look at is called the New Zealand Herald. Oops. So again, this is a nice layout of the hub. There's some interest here, different size images, different number of columns. So again, it leaves me some interest, and then of course the use of the images themselves can lead to different kinds of impacts and things I'm trying to look at. Again, another click in to get to that next section level where they're still letting me see some variety and some interest in terms of helping draw the user and draw the user into seeing and exploring and getting to that great content. Now, you can't be a good hub, certainly can't be a great hub, unless you do worry about scale. So let's take a look at these same two applications on a larger monitor. So here's the New Zealand app again. Now notice that this time they've left themselves a way to scale, right? The layout before, let's go back just to see, let me get to the same place here. And I think we'll need to synchronize the content, so let's do that. Oops. So I've had this running for a little while, so they will get them to the same point. So here you see, though, that they've decided to add columns, or rows, rather, under their hero image if I have more columns, or more vertical space. And then they simply fill up the rest of the columns as they can. This is the same app in 1366 by 768 resolution. Right? So the app is going to scale beautifully because they've got a scaling strategy in mind when they develop the app. Right? So in this case, let's go up a level and sync this. So here they've gone ahead with the lower resolution tablet. They've got one hero image and two columns of three. When I switch over to the higher resolution device, they go with three rows or more rows, depending upon how you want to count the hero image, and still two extra columns. This is nice because if I am running on a higher resolution monitor, I can gather and deal with more information at a time. I have more space. So this is a nice strategy for how I should look at and deal with scaling of the monitor. So we can look at the same kind of situation with Le Monde. They've a slightly different strategy in that they're going with more rows, but they're still mixing up in the variety of the rows themselves. Right, so here they're kind of repeating the bigger image as well as repeating the smaller images as well. So rather than the strategy that New Zealand Herald did, which is simply add a few more smaller tiles on below, Le Monde has decided to continue the larger image where they had space as well. So the point here is that there's lots of interesting ways to present great-looking content, interesting content, content that will draw your users' attention and draw them into the app, and still have different approaches to scale. What's really key for me so far in my experience is making sure that you talk to the designer about having a strategy for scale. This doesn't just happen. It doesn't work if it's like, well, so we tried it on a bigger monitor today. It came out beautiful. This is really something you have to think through, especially when you're thinking, hey, I want to do a great, interesting layout that isn't just a sea of the same size boxes. If you want a sea of the same size boxes, that's actually pretty easy and happens without any thought at all. But if you want to do really interesting, cool layouts, then that's something you're going to have to plan for. Oops. Another key technology, as we looked at it a little earlier, was, you know, if I have this hub with lots of different sections or even a big section, how do I make it easy for the user to jump around between the sections? If I've got a lot of content, it can be annoying or irritating to have to pan through an awful lot of it. So I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of semantic zoom by now. It's something we talk a lot about in Windows 8. What I'd like to say is there are lots of good options for your semantic zoom strategy as well. So in the, let's say, the earlier days of Windows Store apps, it was fairly common to have fairly uninteresting, just sort of a bank of gray boxes for your semantic zoom. And while that can be handy, and there's a simple variation to that that you can do, for example, what Lamon does here. This is a fairly common experience that we had. But still, they're jazzing it up a bit, making it still appealing by having the section colors, by letting those section colors attract me to the section that I'm used to dealing with. So this is certainly one way of being able to let the user jump between these hierarchies fairly quickly, right? So if I want to go to sport, I can jump back. So that's a good, solid semantic zoom implementation. Slightly more interesting is something that the New Zealand Herald is doing as well. So you can't be a great hub if you just have a series of same size boxes. You can't do it if you don't worry about being scaling beautifully. And really, you need to worry about being a great semantic zoom. So one of the things they do to make it a little bit more interesting for me is they use images as well as the title from the current publication. So these images actually relate to the current story of the day. I think if I actually followed New Zealand sports, I'd probably recognize the man at sport. Certainly, depending upon other people, you might recognize it. Give you a way to draw the user into the content because you're giving them a hint or a highlight of what's there. I'll point out one other nice feature that this app does is they allow me to actually personalize the app based on what they're calling a filter. So here you can see it's not the semantic zoom. This is it kind of looks similar, but it's a filter selection. And I can get rid of all the stuff I don't really care about, like news and business. And I'll leave that one. I don't need these. So really, I can just worry about stuff I actually care about, showing that I'm not particularly a good citizen of the world, because all apparently I care about is sports and technology. But it does let me personalize the experience for what I want to do, and make the app more my own. So that's also another nice thing to do. And there you see, if I actually do my semantic zoom, I'm limited just to those titles that I've chosen. All right, so it's a nice way to let the user, you know, personalize and focus the app on their particular choices. So of course, the meat of the problem, though, is actually how do I make a really nice looking layout for my articles? Again, we have a lot of the same principles involved here. I have seen a few applications in the store where they simply grab a bunch of text, slap it into a multi-column field, and they're done. Three columns of text, not really worrying too much about the size of the display. Not really adding any nice variety or things to do inside of that content. And I've got a pretty bland and somewhat sometimes difficult to read experience. So you need to worry about and think about what's the best way to lay out my page of individual content so that it's still interesting to my user and to my reader. One thing we're not being strict on or saying you must do is, for example, things like what your font selection should be. We think you should have a fairly low level, low number of fonts. There certainly shouldn't be 30 or 40 fonts in the application, but we certainly think that a few fonts, well chosen, make sense. So we actually don't recommend the Sago UI font for reading. It's fine, you could certainly use it, but we prefer things like Serif, Georgia, those kinds of fonts, and certainly giving the user an option for picking a font is awfully good as well. It gives them that opportunity, again, to personalize. If you don't let them at least pick the font face, I would strongly advise to let them pick the font size, or at least a range of sizes or something along those lines. As I slowly but surely age and my eyesight goes away at the same time, I'm finding that font selection to be really handy and helpful. So the idea here is to, we do believe that the right experience for reading is to use the horizontal panning motion that we're using throughout Windows 8. So we prefer to see apps that do their reading multi-column with a horizontally panning experience. So that means laying out your reading font into multiple columns, letting those columns span multiple pages, if you will. Certainly multiple columns. You can choose to either have your content do a snap point where when I flick, I actually get to a sort of set number of columns. You can also have it just sort of continuously scrolling so that they can choose which columns are visible or not. A good set of reading fonts, again, Serif, Georgia, Cabri, those kinds of fonts are very good to use in a reading situation. If you have a font that you need to use for brand purposes or it's just what you use, that's fine. There's no particular requirement one way or the other there. But the other thing is, again, give me something interesting to look at other than just here I've got three or four columns of text. So let's take a look at one example of an interesting layout. We'll take a look at NBC News. And this is one of their article layouts. Again, it's actually quite interesting. They've got a nice hero image. They're also embedding other kinds of content right in line with the flow of the text. In this case, it's a video. They're using fonts and space and colors to let me see different types of content, keep it an interesting read for me so it's not just a series of one colored text in a couple of columns, right? So it lets me see this experience. They do let me adjust the font size. They actually give me quite a bit of choice in this selection as to what font size makes sense for me. Nowadays for me, it's bigger than not. I actually really like the way that they're doing their videos as well, particularly because when I start the video, it goes full screen. I like that for two reasons. The first one, again, is my slightly failing eyesight. But who would like to guess on why I like it for a second reason? It's a lot more technical and maybe a little geeky. Performance, yeah. Specifically, battery life is my big concern there, right? If you do full screen video, we do better with the battery, right? You use the built-in capabilities in full screen, and we can do better management of battery life. So if you have a choice, as you go through your layout, and as opposed to having especially if you're going to be presenting a lot of video to the user, and people like NBC News who have a lot of video, doing full screen video is a great choice, right? It's not required, you could certainly choose the other one, but I kind of like it because it means I'm going to be able to get a little bit more battery life, a bit more video out of the app than I would have otherwise. But again, you see a nice here layout in terms of having different size images, font sizes, text, etc. So it's really important that you give the user something really interesting to read, not just in the content, obviously that's key, but in the way you present it and the way that they can read it. So that leads to the next really key item, which I'm sorry to say, this is kind of an area that I'm finding the most challenging for a lot of developers out there, and that is providing a great article navigation scheme. I'm finding far too many apps who go ahead and implement a nice hub and section, and then I open up a particular article, and that's where I stop. If I want to go to the next article, I have to go up to the section and either pick another article or just somehow decide that's how I'm going to traverse this section. That's a really irritating experience. What we really strongly suggest is that you come up with a really good article-to-article, if you will, navigation scheme. Don't leave your users sort of trapped at the end of a dead-end street saying, I got you to the article, now you have to go back. So one of the ones we like best, frankly, is that if I could just keep on panning. I open an article, I pan through it, I keep panning, and I get to the next article, and the next article, and so on, all the way through that section. Don't normally want to do that through the entire at the hub level. I really see this mostly as working well for one of your sections. So the user opens a article even from the hub, and now you know what section they're in, and you let me simply pan through the rest of those articles. That's great, of course, for our touch users. Just keep panning. It's very natural. It happens very quickly. It's a really great experience. Not so good if all you're doing is touch to handle for my mouse and keyboard users. In those cases, we still suggest a straightforward article-to-article movement. One of our favorite techniques is to use basically a flip view or a flip view-like control that lets the user simply move the mouse, the flip view button pops up, and they can click that, and they can move to the next article. So it lets them very quickly either scan through a series of articles or simply read through article to article. As I've talked to a lot of folks around here, there seems to be at least a couple of sort of primary camps with folks when they do reading. Some folks really do like to sort of pop through all the articles, and maybe they spend time reading each one, maybe they just look at a headline or a few words out of it, but they want to sort of go through your information sort of sequentially, the way you've kind of laid it out. Other folks really prefer a much more random way. I want to jump from this article to another article, and I really don't want to go through the order you have. So the one thing that this particular technique does do is at least satisfy the idea of being able to move from article to article in a very smooth and efficient way for your user. So I'm going to show you a couple of different ways that this has been done. So this is the ABC News app. Again, I can change font sizes and so on. And I can pan through the article just like you would expect, right? And I'll go back to the beginning. So I'll go ahead and just pan through this. Notice, as I got to the end, it stopped, gave me a little bounce, saying, hey, you're at the end of this article. Here at the end, they've decided to give me an option to do that sort of random jump if I want. Here are some related articles from ABC News. So if you want to jump to other kinds of things, there are other articles that they think I might be interested in, they let me have that sort of random jump right here on the end. If I don't, if I want to move to the next article in the section, I just keep panning. So I can pan through an article, I get to the end, they let me know, and I can continue to pan through articles just that easy. It's nice and smooth, it's fast and fluid, and it really provides a really nice user experience without me having to go through this jarring, go back to the section and back down again. So the question is there another clue? And in this case, they're just using the bounce. So it's one option. It's, I think, something that users are getting used to, but there isn't another highlight on the screen or something. We'd be a little concerned about that only because it's something they probably don't need. I do see that they do have a, though this app doesn't, but some of the other apps have a sort of backup on the app bar, next and previous. I think as soon as the users discover this usage of the app, they very quickly settle into it and they're used to that concept. But if you don't like this, there is another option or another way that I've come across quite nice lately is this is the CTV News app. They kind of go slightly differently. in that I can still pan. You see they've got a nice layout of pictures and videos. I can still pan across, but what they do is instead of bounce at the end of the article, they actually stop at the beginning of the next one. Right, so it's a little bit more subtle to see, but so let me go ahead here and I'm just going to give it a good long jump here. And you see I really can't get lost in a sea of content because they're stopping at the beginning of the next article. So this is also, I think, a very reasonable way to let the user do his panning, go through the series of articles that you've presented to them and the hierarchy you think is reasonable, and yet still be able to very quickly and easily jump through. No, actually, this is the article on this particular source. You can see that there's a bit more content here. It depends on the article and who's providing and that kind of thing. This looks like it has a little bit more text, but that's just a stylistic thing. And again, here, so not only can I pan through here, but I also, this is back to the ABC News, I get my little flip control. So if I've just got a keyboard and mouse and I want to sort of look at them, I can use my mouse wheel and the combination of the mouse wheel and the pointer here to go through the article and quickly and easily, I guess I'm at the end of the section there, navigate through these series of articles. These guys not only provide me with that next previous experience with the flipper and the buttons or the panning, but they also give me a little bit of that random navigation by a selection of related articles. You can, of course, also use the top app bar as an opportunity to provide jump points as well. The ABC News folks do that at least at a top level and sort of giving you to slightly different sections. They don't expose articles. I think exposing articles is actually pretty challenging in that space, but they do let you jump to other sections or other filters or that kind of thing. So this is an experience we have come across, though, with a number of stores in the Windows Store today that do leave users sort of hanging at the end of that article. In the session after this, Kathy's going to show you that in a lot of cases, it's actually pretty straightforward to add the ability to do this continuous panning to your application. It's not a lot of complicated hard work. It's just a question of kind of knowing the environment and what choices you have. So another thing that comes to mind, of course, is when I do have a lot of content, what options can I present the user as far as filtering it? If you've given me this hierarchy and you're kind of saying you shouldn't have too many layers of hierarchy, what do I do if I just have too much content? In this case, it's really, we think the best approach here is a filtering-based approach. So kinds of things like enabling the user with a dropdown that you see on the screen here to at least sort of move between sections easily. Sometimes you can do some reclassification of sections that way. If we look here at the ABC News app, they kind of do that in that they have these sections up top that cover topics like entertainment or technology. And then they have another way of looking at the app, which is based on the source of the content itself. Maybe I'm really only interested in Good Morning America stories and not so much interested in 2020 stories. So I have that opportunity to provide that level of filtering. Another way, another app that's done this very well is the iCookbook app. I get to talk about it. It has the word book in its title. Clearly, it's a reading experience. In this case, I've drilled down already through their section detail into desserts. And you can still, I still have 234 desserts to deal with. That's probably, you know, not. Maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I want a little bit more focus. I can bring up the app bar and then decide to apply a filter. In this case, I'm going to apply the occasion filter and look for something that we could make for Halloween to go with my costume. I'm not sure if any of these are appropriate for my costume, but I can at least filter through and limit the content and let the user drill into and get to the right place in the content with that. So rather than say, hey, I've got a lot of content, I need to have 10 tiers or 10 levels in my hierarchy, really the right approach is restrict yourself to 4 or 5 at the most layers of hierarchy and use filtering and selection in order to get the user to get to the right content at the right place. Again, if I have to go down and up too much, users find that difficult. They find themselves getting somewhat lost in that, and they do want to be able to jump back and get to something a little bit more easily. So filtering is a great way to deal with just having a tremendous number of items in your application. So getting a little bit more back to sort of pure Windows 8 integration, clearly tiles and notifications are pretty key in this environment. What I want to talk to you about is clearly you, especially for things like news and sports and a lot of this kind of timely content, you really do want to let the user know what's going on. But you really want to use these as a way to draw your user back. Right? If I see an interesting tile, if it's got something interesting for me, I'm likely to click that app again. The more I click the app, the more valuable that app is to me, the better it is for your brand and overall utilization. Right, so you want to help draw the user back. So primarily, the best technique here is the live tile update, the live tile notification, because it's there all the time. It persists. So if I want to let the user know that there's a new article he should read or a new book he wants to do or a new issue of his magazine, it's there and it persists right on that tile. There is the option, of course, for the notification. This is fine, but I really have to be paying attention to the system in order for the notification to have sort of a good impact on me. It's up, it's there for a few seconds, and it's gone. So it's fine for like a breaking news element that, hey, I really want to know, give you every opportunity to know something's important, but you should back that up with a live tile notification as well so that you can see when I come back, because my head's been away or I was doing something else, that it's still there. So as you can see, live tiles are pretty popular with our reading focused applications today. You can see that there's a number of different techniques here. I will point out that one of the things we're starting to see is a lot of news sources often get their pictures or elements of their pictures from the same place. If you use a big picture banner, which is coming from like a stock, a shared source, it can be difficult to differentiate which app is which. Right? So you see, for example, the NBC News folks here deciding that they want to keep their brand front and center and use the lower part of the tile for the actual, here's my new information for you. You can also see folks like Le Monde and New Zealand Herald keeping their brand very front and center in that experience. As opposed to, say, the New York Times here, let me slide over here a little bit, the LA Times and the Tribune, it's great they have the live tile. Sometimes I get a little confused as to which one to pick. So I think it's important for you to remember, what's the right image I want to project? Because this is your app calling card. This is the thing that the user is going to see the most. The better he likes your tile, the better he likes your content, the more likely he is to put it right where he sees it a lot. So do think about, what is the right template to use so that you get the right image and right lasting impression for your app. So, but clearly especially for any timely nature of content, you really do want to support something like a live tile. I see a lot of feedback for apps in the store, especially if they are in the news category, that don't have live tiles, and they're actually getting dinged on that a lot. Yes, question?
Yes, question. Is there any guidance that you might have on whether to use our brand logo versus, for example, just the
way overlay, like most of Microsoft apps? So the guidance, it really is based on, the question is, is there guidance about should you use one kind of brand logo or another? We have affordances in the platform for things like a subtle, that you see a lot of us use, like you see on the news app here, a subtle logo from the app. Travel One does the same way, just the brand. And that's good if that your brand is powerful enough or strong enough to say, I can just live with that particular element. We're not giving hard guidance that a different technique, like you see here with, say, NBC News or the New Zealand Herald is a bad way to go if you want to keep a strong presence of your brand in the tiles. So we are going to leave that up to you with respect to what's the right approach for your particular brand. So the question is, are there tools for testing tiles and seeing them and trying them out? Absolutely. Well, there's not really a tool, but if you use the tiles sample from the SDK, it lets you just generate tiles. So you can easily just sort of load up data into that and decide, here's a bunch of pictures, and it's a very fast way to get a quick look at some tiles. So I've used that a bunch. I find it to be pretty helpful. So it's not like a tile tool per se, but it kind of ends up being that way. So finally, of course, search and share, again, key elements of the overall Windows 8 experience, and experiences that you want to provide to your users so that they can really get the full value of everything you actually offer. Right? These are really they're great things for users because they're, you know, obviously being able to search, being able to share out information is a pretty great and handy thing to do. But they're really great for you as developers because they're another opportunity for you Well, it looks a little brighter on my screen. Let me see if I've got... unfortunately, I didn't install much on the other one, so let me... can we get someone to see if we can fix the screen? Let's try this. Oh, my fault. Don't try this. I got it. Here we go. Apparently, you're supposed to push the button that says screen. Who knew? Anyway, so the opportunity for you as a developer to keep in front of users, to stay pertinent and relevant in their life, is really big by having search and share. So let's take a quick look. Say I want to do a search, right? And we'll search for Seattle here. Obviously, I'm going to want, as a user, to be able to apply that search to your particular brand app's expertise. And the thing is, if you don't do search, you're really sort of leaving this opportunity up. So it's really nice for me to be able to see, yeah, I know there's a story going on right now about Seattle. I'd like to go ahead and search for that. Let's see what news has to say about it, right? Or clearly, you know, Seattle's probably not a big source of stories right now. But I can go ahead here and decide, you know, which news application do I have that can provide me information about this, right? CTV News is probably not a big source of Seattle news right now. But you don't want to effectively leave this opportunity to other applications, right? It's important that your users are able to find and get information about their interest and their search from the expertise of your application, right? So it's just another great opportunity for you. It's really valuable to the user to be able to go in here and say, yeah, I want to be able to search and search your area in order to get that experience. So so let's go ahead and finally, of course, share is one of those experiences that users are going to get used to. It's actually a very straightforward thing to do on the programming side. You have to fill in a data structure at the right time. We give you the event, you fill in the right data structure, and it lets users, again, extend the reach of your app, but it also gives you that opportunity when you do the share to say, hey, this came from my application. You should install my app. You should use my app to extend that experience. Clearly, if I had to choose, of course, search is very important for a lot of our reading experiences. you have information in your content. People want to find that. I would say, I would really emphasize to make sure that you do as much as you can to support a really great search experience. But share is very easy as well, so I think that share is something that everyone's going to get used to and really want to see in their applications. It's a great opportunity for you to extend the reach of your app. So it turns out that what I really want to leave it with is there are a lot of opportunities for you as app developers with great content to use Windows as a really great place for your users to read the content and the capabilities that you have. Right? It can be a really fabulous experience to read across the Windows 8 devices. Clearly, tablets are very popular in reading. I do read lots of things on my tablet. It's a great place to be able to sit back and put your feet up and read. But I also find myself checking news and checking information, especially when things are going on my desktop as well. And it's great to have a really nice reading experience that does things like gives me a great hub, gives me a great semantic zoom so that I can get in and out of my application, get in where I want to go quickly. A great article-to-article is important to me personally. But I think it's really a great thing in order to provide that experience to users so that they have a really good experience using your application to do great reading. So I appreciate your time. I have time for some questions. We also will have a session after lunch here talking about how to implement this that Kathy's going to talk about, some of the implementation details behind this. And then after that session, later this afternoon, we have a full hour-long question and answer if you have some more depth questions or in-depth questions you'd like to ask. So thank you very much, and I'm open to any questions.